Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare! All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare.
Yay! Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. Here we are. I'm Diana.
I'm Erin.
And we are in the middle of Richard III.
The Duke of Gloucester.
Yes, he's still the Duke of Gloucester for a short while.
Yes, so this is a wee teeny little scene.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting scene.
Yeah. We've got some weeping and wailing. We've got some random children. And a little disclaimer, we also may have some interesting chanting. I'm not sure. Because I just got back from, in fact, got to tell you, I just got back from seeing Mr. Ralph Fiennes in the Scottish play. Yes, that was exciting. We saw it in Liverpool, and it was in a warehouse sort of a thing, like, you know, they've been doing things at the Armory in New York, for instance, those big, grand productions in big open spaces. And I got to meet Simon Godwin, the director. Very cool. And I got to say hello to Ralph Fiennes for a moment and say hello to Indira Varma for a second.
I love her so much.
She was playing Lady Mac, and she did a great job. She's, like, super sexy, very good with the text. Yeah, so she was a really nice Lady Mac.
We're big Indira fans.
Yeah. So, but we literally just walked in the door, and Savannah was like, I've got to do some meditation things, and will I interfere? And I go, I'll just tell them that if they hear...
So we may hear some chanting.
We might hear that.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Whatever.
We'll just pretend it's more wailing.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah. Some kind of wailing woman. So, episode 42, we are at Act 2, Scene 2, The Palace. And as you recall, Clarence perished.
In the butt.
Whoa.
He perished in the butt.
Yes. Of course, but. Ooh. Yeah.
Perished.
He perished. And so we are going to meet his children here. Mm-hmm. And don't worry too much about them. In fact, Shakespeare didn't worry too much about them. He didn't even give them names. They're called Boy and Girl. Very exciting. And we all know, anybody who knows this play at all knows that there's some children in it.
The princes.
Who are going to get swept up in the murderous rampage.
Deep-lifed.
Yes. Deep-sixed with the trash. Squirreled away under some stairs somewhere.
Yeah, or maybe shipped off to that island. What was that island?
Yes.
Or maybe it wasn't an island. You said it. You said there's lore that the princes were actually put on a boat and taken
to the north of France. What the fuck? Lord of not Buckingham.
Burgundy.
Burgundy. That's Burgundy. The one. So they were shipped off to one of them. Richard, young Richard, perhaps.
Okay.
Shipped off to Burgundy.
Marber. And there perhaps. He met Anastasia.
Yes.
And they lived happily ever after.
They made a whole dynasty of children, and we don't know who those are. And they got protected by the lords of the chalice. No. Never mind.
Now
we're...
Okay. We've gone off the rails.
Which is usual.
Yeah.
Very typical.
Well, and we haven't even talked about who's going to read who, so we don't even fucking...
Okay.
We don't even know that.
Whoa. Okay. How about I read the old lady?
You read the old lady. I read boy and girl? No. Yeah, I read...
I'll read girl. You read boy. You read Queen Elizabeth when she comes in.
All right.
And then we've got Tricky Dick and Tricky Dick, who's also Richard Nixon. Yeah. We got Tricky Dick and we got Buckingham.
Buckingham. Wait, so do you want to do Buckingham or Richard?
Either one. What do you want to do?
I'll do Buckingham. You do Richard. Because I did Richard last time.
Okay, great.
All right, here we go.
All right, so the Duchess of York with the two children of Clarence. That's all the clue that we know of who they are.
Boy, tell me, good grandam, is our father dead?
No, boy.
Why do you wring your hands and beat your breast and cry, oh, Clarence, my unhappy son?
So why does she lie to him?
I don't know.
That's cruel.
I mean, if she's beating her breast and screaming, oh, Clarence!
And then he says, is my dad dead? And she's like, no.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
It don't. Why is she trying to spare him something? I don't know.
Oh.
Okay, and the girl says, why do you look on us and shake your head and call us wretches, orphans, castaways, if that our noble father be alive? And the Duchess, my pretty cousins, you mistake me much. I do lament the sickness of the king. As loath to lose him, not your father's death, it were lost sorrow to wail one that's lost.
What?
So she's like, it's pointless to cry for somebody who's already gone. I am crying because the king is sick. That's what she's saying.
But she just told him the father is...
Yes, maybe not dead.
Maybe she means he's not dead in the sense that he's gone off to heaven.
Ooh. He didn't get that chance. Okay. Yeah,
maybe that's what she means when she says he's not dead.
Because she
clearly
lost.
Says...
Yeah.
Huh?
He was lost. One that's lost.
Right.
And the boy picked clearly, up on that. Yeah.
So it must be something to do with heaven that we don't get because we're heathen.
It's a shitty way that adults talk to kids. Trying to supposedly spare them from something. And they're not at all. Kids are so much more perceptive than you think.
Yeah. So... And boy, then, grandam, you conclude that he is dead. The king, my uncle, is to blame for this. God will revenge it, whom I will importune with daily prayers all to that effect.
Girl, and so will I. So both kids just said they are going to pray for the king to die. That is treason.
Treason.
That's very scary. Dangerous.
Yeah.
So the Duchess shuts them up. Peace, children, peace. The king doth love you well. Incapable and shallow innocence, you cannot guess who caused your father's death?
Grandam, we can. For my good uncle Gloucester told me the king, provoked by the queen, devised impeachments to imprison him. And when my uncle told me so, he wept and hugged me in his arms and kindly kissed my cheek. Bade me rely on him as on my father, and he would love me dearly as his child.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a good liar. Everybody buys his lies.
Yeah, especially the kids. I mean, they don't have any reason to doubt him. So they're, you know, so he says, my uncle, my good uncle, the nice one, told me that the bad uncle, the king, was provoked by the queen to put my father in jail. Mm-hmm. By her impeachments, her slanders. And then Richard, we can picture him, right? Hugging this little boy and kissing his cheek and saying, I'll be your daddy, don't you worry.
I also think that it isn't just to contrast the princes with Clarence's children, but I do think it's to presage, preface, whatever, how Richard interacts with the princes.
Yeah. So we hear about it first, how he interacts with children, and then we're going to see it in the next scene. Yeah. So interesting. Duchess condemning again her son. Oh, that deceit should steal such gentle shape and with a virtuous vizard hide foul guile. He is my son, yea, and therein my shame. Yet from my dugs he drew not this deceit.
Oh, boy.
He didn't get it from me.
Right. Well, from my dugs, but that's tits. Titties.
Yeah, from my tits. He didn't suck that stuff out of me.
Right.
His mm-hmm. horrible nature. That deceit so should assume the appearance of gentleness, steal such gentle shape. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a vizard is a mask, so he hides his horrible guile, his terrible, you know, misdeeds.
Isn't that interesting? Visage is face, vizard is mask.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That's a really nice parallel there. All right, boy.
Think you my uncle did dissemble, grandam?
Aye, boy.
I cannot think it. Hark, what noise is this?
And there's a wail from offstage, and it says, enter Queen Elizabeth with her hair about her ears. So her hair's not all nice and put up anymore?
No, she's no longer queenly. She now...
she's now griefly.
Oh, griefly, right? And here she comes. Oh, who shall hinder me to wail and weep, to chide my fortune and torment myself? I'll join with black despair against my soul, and to myself become an enemy.
Ooh, so what is she threatening?
Suicide.
Mm, yeah. I love this. I'll join with black despair. It's almost like she's saying, like, we might hear that she's going to join with Richard in a way, right, to undermine. Mm. That's kind of what I hear when I hear
interesting.
That. Yeah. Chide my fortune, right? Yeah. Curse against my fate. Yeah. Historically, just a little note, Clarence actually died 5 years before Edward. But this is Shakespeare, you know, quickly conflating events so that he doesn't have to wait to have things happen, have things happen that are important. And he got some shit for that from his fellow playwrights in the day.
I bet he did.
Because that was not allowed. But tough shit. Breaking the rules right and left.
Good.
Okay, Duchess. What means this scene of rude impatience? Four syllables.
Impatience.
So yeah, what means this scene of rude impatience? Mm. So she's really laying that word on Elizabeth. Like, how dare you be so...
impertinent.
Incorrect. Yes.
And Elizabeth, to make an act of tragic violence. Edward, my lord, your son, our king, is dead. Why grow the branches now? The root is withered. Why wither not the leaves, the sap being gone? If you will live, lament. If die, be brief, that our swift winged souls may catch the king's, or like obedient subjects, follow him to his new kingdom of ne'er-changing night.
Nice. Ooh. So I'm intending to be terribly violent and, you know, upset because this huge thing just happened.
Yeah.
And I love this ladder that she says, Edward, she starts with just his given name, my lord, your son, our king. Boom. Right?
Yep.
For everybody. Yep. It's not personal. It's global. It's
right.
Huge. And then we have these great tree similes for the king, which is he's the roots of the kingdom and everybody else are the little branches and the leaves and stuff. He's the sap. He's the stuff that fuels us.
The blood.
Once he's gone, fuck it. We might as well either die or, you know, if you're going to die, go do it quickly.
Yeah.
And all of us can go. And this is interesting that our swift winged souls may catch the kings. It was sort of it was an Egyptian tradition, right? That when the Pharaoh died, they killed many of his servants, some of his noble lords to go with him to across the great divide into the other kingdom. So that's kind of a little echo of that. All right, Duchess, here goes the competition. Ah, so much interest have I in thy sorrow, as I had title in thy noble husband. Love the terms interest and title, because it's very much about finance and ownership.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Yeah. I have the same, you know, stake as you do, but more, right?
I owned him. He was mine. Him.
I have bewept a worthy husband's death and lived by looking on his images. But now two mirrors of his princely semblance are cracked in pieces by malignant death. And I, for comfort, have but one false glass, which grieves me when I see my shame in him. Thou art a widow, yet thou art a mother, and hast the comfort of thy children left. But death hath snatched my husband from mine arms, and plucked two crutches from my feeble hands. Clarence and Edward, oh, what cause have I, thine being but a moiety of my moan, to overgo thy plaints and drown thy cries?
Moiety of my moans.
Moiety is just a piece. You only have a piece of the thing that I'm moaning for. I'm moaning for all of these dead people. Oh my God. So
yep.
Had my husband died and I only had these images, these replicas of him, but now two mirrors, two of, you know, the reflections of him are gone. Actually three. She's forgetting Rutland. And I guess that was so long ago that she's not thinking about it. But Clarence and Edward just recently in the last couple of years, days. And then she only has left Mr. And so notice all of the mirror references in the mirror. We talked about that from the very first scene when he said, I'm going to go buy me a mirror and look at how beautiful I am.
Yep.
So here we have the false mirror, Richard, and she sees her shame. This is why she blames him for his birth and everything that came after that. Right? So she's saying, at least you have children left. I don't have anything.
Yeah.
I love the word crutches because, you know, it references her age, but also Richard's disability. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
I think. Yeah. And the boy and girl step in like, Jesus,
what are you doing? Boy, good aunt, you wept not for our father's death. How can we aid you with our kindred tears?
Girl. Our fatherless distress was left unmoaned. Your widow dolor likewise be unwept.
Stop crying, bitch.
Yeah. Also, you're not going to cry for your loss because you didn't cry for ours.
Cry for ours. Yeah.
Yeah. So your widow dolor, I love that. Dolor is sadness. Pain, right?
Yeah.
So she's just like, bam, bam, bam. We're not going to help you cry.
And Elizabeth. Give me no help in lamentation. I am not barren to bring forth complaints. All springs reduce their currents to mine eyes, that I, being governed by the watery moon, may send forth plenteous tears to drown the world. Oh, for my husband, for my dear Lord Edward.
And the children both answer.
Oh, for our father, our dear Lord Clarence.
Yeah. Interesting, all these references to water. I'm not barren, that's for sure. She had lots and lots of children. But to bring forth complaints like springs. We've got springs, we've got currents, we've got the watery moon, we've got tears and drowning. All of these references to water.
In the White Queen, wasn't she portrayed as a water sorceress of some variety?
Yes. She is one of the, so they claimed, the women of this family claimed that they were descendants of Melusine.
Melusine!
Hello, Christina Biaggi. Melusine was the water goddess, the river goddess, the water goddess. So yeah, they have lots of references to water. And also in these times, women, you know, we've talked about the four humors, right? And
yes. The
all of the liquids in your body that govern your body. And women were said to be more wet because of tears, because of so much blood that they lost every month. So they were said to be wet bodies and spongy bodies, whereas men were supposed to be more dry and more, you know, and therefore more in control of themselves. So here's some of that in text, those beliefs. Yeah. Remember that this is an early play. So
yep.
Shakespeare is not as... I mean, he's very imaginative, right? But he is playing to the audience at the time.
Yeah.
And whereas later he will definitely fuck with a lot of those opinions, here he's going with the popular flow.
Yeah.
Flow. Get it? See what I did there? Okay. So here they are moaning, the Duchess. Alas, for both mine, Edward and Clarence.
And Elizabeth, what stay had I but Edward, and he's gone. children.
That's a great word, the stay, because the stays were the bones that were in their corsets.
Yeah.
Right? So they held them straight and erect, and she doesn't have anything to hold her in, to keep her in control anymore, because her husband is gone.
Yep.
And the children.
What
stay
had we but
Clarence?
But Clarence, and he's gone.
Yeah, and so great, because the word stay is also like, what reason do we have to keep here in life? What is going to stay us or keep us from killing ourselves, right? From being dead. Duchess, what stays had I but they, and they are gone.
Elizabeth, was never widow had so dear a loss.
Children.
Were never orphans had so dear a loss.
Duchess, was never mother had so dear a loss. Alas, I am the mother of these moans. Their woes are parceled, mine are general. She for an Edward weeps, and so do I. I for a Clarence weep, so doth not she. These babes for Clarence weep, and so do I. I for an Edward weep, so do not they. Alas, you three on me, threefold distressed, pour all your tears. I am your sorrow's nurse, and I will pamper it with lamentations.
Oh, you think you're sad? I'm much sadder than you.
It's like some kind of, you know, playground thing that they're like, no, me, I'm more important. And Dorset is like, oh my God, okay. You want to be Dorset? Be Dorset.
Okay. And you'll be Rivers.
Yeah.
Okay. Comfort, dear mother, God is much displeased that you take with unthankfulness his doing. In common worldly things, 'tis called ungrateful, with dull unwillingness to pay a debt which with a bounteous hand was kindly lent. Much more to be thus opposite with heaven, for it requires the royal debt it lent you.
Yeah.
You should be grateful that God gave you him for as long as he did, and when he called him home, you should be grateful he's going to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting way to look at it, like that your life is only temporarily granted.
Yes.
To be down here. And then Rivers is going to bring it to the next place. What we got to think about next, right? Rivers. Madam, bethink you, like a careful mother, of the young prince your son. Send straight for him. Let him be crowned. In him your comfort lives. Drown desperate sorrow in dead Edward's grave, and plant your joys in living Edward's throne. Nice.
So,
antithesis there, right?
Yeah.
Grave and throne. Beautiful. And then we have the repetition of the words him, right?
And Edward.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you need to crown him.
His son is also named Edward, so we still have a living Edward that we can, you know, hold up as king.
Yeah.
Let's do that now.
We gotta do it now.
And, of course, in comes Richard, just at the opportune moment. Gloucester. Madam, have comfort. All of us have cause to wail the dimming of our shining star, but none can cure their harms by wailing them. Madam, my mother, I do cry you mercy. I did not see your grace. Humbly on my knee, I crave your blessing. I always picture him as going, oh, God, Mom. Shit.
Fuck. Okay. You're there.
Yikes. It's like a fucking ghost over there. Jesus, when are you dying? I mean, sorry.
Well, but here's another interesting thing, right? If they crown young Edward king, the Duchess of York is no longer queen the mother of the king. Yeah, she's no longer queen mother.
She's really nothing.
Nothing.
Well, and she's ancient. She needs to go.
Yeah. And he kneels to her.
He kneels to her. So he's really trying. God, for all that she's been so horrible to him, he still, you know, he honored his father so much. I think he still tries to say, I mean, you'll hear in asides, he's like, oh my God, this but publicly, he does the right things. Yeah. So, madam, have comfort. He's talking first to Elizabeth, right? We're the dimming of our shining star, the king, but we can't, we're not going to fix it by
moaning.
Yeah. And then down on his knee, and the Duchess, God bless thee and put meekness in thy mind, love, charity, obedience, and true duty. And Richard, amen, and make me die a good old man. That is the butt end of a mother's blessing. I marvel why Her Grace did leave it out. They say this is an aside. Could it be not an aside?
It could be. He could be poking her, but he just kneeled in front of her, so.
Yeah. Or he could get up and say this right to Buckingham.
Perhaps. I think it is directly to Buckingham.
Right. So it's not entirely an aside. It's still part of a conversation. The butt end. I like that. Little hint to where Clarence went. But he's saying that's supposed to be part of the mother's blessing, right? I hope you live a good long life. Make me die a good old man. Yeah. I hope you live a long life. But she left that out somehow. I wonder why. Okay, Buckingham.
And Buckingham, you cloudy princes and heart-sorrowing peers that bear this mutual heavy load of moan, now cheer each other in each other's love. Though we have spent our harvest of this king, we are to reap the harvest of his son. The broken rancor of your high-swollen hearts, but lately splintered, knit and joined together, must gently be preserved, cherished, and kept. Me seemeth good that, with some little train, forthwith from Ludlow the young prince be fetched hither to London to be crowned our king.
Yeah. So he's like, okay. We one king goes out, the other one comes in. He's here to remind everybody of that. And he also brings back in that King Edward only just put us all back together as friends, right? This, we were splintered, we were knit together. It's like broken bones and joined together. We have to work at keeping that okay now. Preserved, cherished, and kept, right? So our next duty should be to go get the prince. And Ludlow Castle was where the Prince of Wales was kept, usually. He had his own court from, I think, at the age of 2 or something. They sent him off to be surrounded by his own servants, his own court, and he was trained to be the leader in that castle, in a smaller, you know, with a smaller retinue and everything, so that he could be trained to be the king. And so this Edward is somewhere around 12 to 15, this one now. And they're saying, send for him. It's time. Bring him in. And Rivers, why with some little train, my lord of Buckingham?
Mary, my lord, lest by a multitude the new healed wound of malice should break out, which would be so much more the dangerous by how much the estate is green and yet ungoverned, where every horse bears his commanding rein and may direct his course as please himself, as well the fear of harm as harm apparent, in my opinion, ought to be prevented.
Yeah, so this country has seen, you know, hordes of marching men on horseback, and it's only been awful, right? It's been civil war all these years. So if somebody sees, that people see a big, huge marching horde going towards Ludlow, it's going to look like war. So let's just send a few guys. The estate is green, right? So the young king's...
hasn't had a whole lot of chance to learn how to be a king yet.
Yeah. Ungoverned, right? He hasn't learned, yeah. And every horse, this is a nice metaphor, every horse bears his commanding rein. So you don't know, like every horse that bears a guy could be going off towards his domain to say, let's raise an army and take back the kingdom for me.
Yes.
Yep. So you gotta tread quietly here. So Buckingham is the voice of reason and calm here.
Princely Buckingham. Mm-hmm. Buckingham.
And Gloucester. I hope the king made peace with all of us, and the compact is firm and true in me. So he's like, I'm keeping my part of the bargain.
Yeah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I'm good. And Rivers. And so in me, and so I think in all. and yet since it is but green, it should be put to no apparent likelihood of breach, which haply by much company might be urged. Therefore, I say with noble Buckingham, that as meet some few should fetch the prince.
Hastings, and so say I.
Okay. So Rivers thinks Buckingham is a neutral party. So he's like, okay, Buckingham is saying a good thing. And he's right that we don't want to make it look like there are armies. No likelihood of breach, right? No possible insurrection. Mm-hmm. So some of us should go. And some few, he's also intimating that it should be himself going as well. And Hastings. Okay, Gloucester. Then be it so, and go we to determine who they shall be that straight shall post to Ludlow. Madam, and you, my mother, will you go to give your censures in this weighty business?
Elizabeth.
And Duchess.
With all our hearts.
So they're going to go and weigh in on what they think.
Yeah, who should go.
Who should go and exit everyone but Buckingham and Gloucester.
And Buckingham, my lord. Whoever journeys to the prince, for God's sake, let not us two be behind. For, by the way, I'll sort occasion as index to the story we late talked of, to part the queen's proud kindred from the king.
Oh.
Buckingham is not neutral.
Not at all.
Richard and I have been chit-chatting.
Yeah, they want to especially get Rivers and Dorset away from the young prince.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And we don't know how they're going to do that yet, but we will hear about it. The queen's proud kindred are not going to rule over this young king.
Right.
So far, we haven't talked about what is happening to the young king, but we definitely...
we want those two away from him, we should be in this retinue that goes to pick him up.
Yeah.
We should be.
I love this piece as index to the story. So the index is usually where things are explained, right?
Yes.
And cataloged. Yeah. So we mentioned this story, but we didn't talk details. And that's where this is one of those, one of those details.
Yeah.
And I love this because I think Richard is almost like, hey, good idea. Yeah. He's enjoying this. My other self, my counsel's consistory, my oracle, my prophet, my dear cousin, I, like a child, will go by thy direction. Towards Ludlow, then, for we'll not stay behind.
Off they go.
I love this. My other self. So they're really joining forces there, right? My counsel's consistory, every person in my council is right here. Because it's only you so far. My oracle, I like that.
Here's the thing. One thing.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Richard has some ideas about what he'd like to do. But Buckingham is giving him clear strategies to get to what he wants.
Yeah.
Richard, I don't think Richard has completely thought the whole thing through until Buckingham says, hey, we shouldn't stay behind because we want to keep them away from, like, and the index, right? We want the details. We want all of the story points out there. So, and that's why I think Richard says, my oracle, my prophet, like, I hadn't even thought about that. Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So I really think that that's very spontaneous on his part. Like, fuck yes. This is great. My right-hand man. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So they might have been talking about it, but they didn't quite hammer it all out. And he just, I think to Buckingham, it probably came to him as he was going through this scene. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I also, I don't know. I have to keep reading before I make this as a firm assertion, but I don't think that Buckingham has any idea how far Richard is willing to go. I think he thinks that Richard will be the regent, and that's correct.
Yeah.
That he be regent. But I don't think he thinks, I don't think he's, Buckingham is thinking that Richard's going to do all the things that Richard does.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah. And we will see that actually later in that scene where Richard is trying to figure out who's going to do the ugly deed for him. And he does ask Buckingham, and Buckingham bucks. He's like, no, let me think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, Buckingham's like, yeah, this makes sense. You know, he has been around government for a long time.
And he's the uncle, and he's right.
And these other upstarts have not been here for a long time. They don't know how this shit works.
They haven't fought in the war beside the king.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. No. So he's doing what seems logical to him. And, you know, he is a neutral party in that he is not in line for the crown until way, way down the line. You know, so he's like, okay, this makes more sense. Right. So sometimes people play Buckingham as like this other sinister party. He's not. He is a politician. He's figuring this out, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
the pieces are falling into place.
Interpol.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
Well,
yes.
I'm excited for what's to come.
Yeah, yeah. The stuff is really going to start snowballing now, and that's cool. Now that the young prince, we're going to see him in the next scene. Prince Edward, who will be King Edward V for a brief amount of time. Yes. All right.
All righty then. I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana.
And this has been...
delightfully fucking Shakespeare.
Oh, it's so delightful.
There wasn't too much fuckity fuck fucks in here.
No, but we did say jugs.
Yes.
We did say jugs.
Yes. Titties. We had titties.
Mention of titties.
Old lady titties. That's not quite so sexy, no.
Well, no, they weren't. They weren't old lady titties when she suckled her babies on them. Now they're old lady titties.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Ciao, ciao, everyone. Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.